In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy,
God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth
to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David.
His name was Joseph.
And the virgin's name was Mary.
Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beauty.
Beauty.
Inside and out.
God be with you.
She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that.
But the angel assured her,
Mary, you have nothing to fear.
God has a surprise for you.
You will become pregnant and give birth to a son.
And call his name Jesus.
He will be great.
Son of the highest.
Highest, highest. He will be great.
The Lord will give him the throne of his father David.
He will rule Jacob's house forever.
There will be no end ever to his kingdom.
No end ever
to
his kingdom.
There will be no end.
Mary said to the angel,
But how? I've never slept with a man.
The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you.
The power of the highest hover over you.
Therefore, the child,
the Son of God,
you bring to birth will be called holy.
Mary said,
I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say.
I get lots of phone calls. Usually, I'm expecting a call, I leave my phone in the kitchen, and I gotta go to the bathroom. The phone inevitably rings. You know what that's like. Oh, you gotta hurry out. And it's my friend from Tampa Bay, and they wanna help me with my tax fraud case. Well, I gotta go back and take care of business. All of a sudden, another phone rings. I run out there, and no, it's my helpful neighbor from Middlebury, Connecticut, and they know about my student loans. I don't have any. Well, the next day I get a call, and a guy from Las Vegas wants to help me out because my car warranty may be running out. Oh, no! Limited time offer. Get it before it's too late. They've got a solution to problems I don't have. I pay my taxes up front. I don't have student loans. My cars are too old to get a new warranty. And trust me, I'm not going to buy one from that guy anyway, even if they say it's my loss. Well, I go back to my office and I open my computer. Oh, wow, I got lots of email. I'm a popular guy there. It's not just with the folks in Lincoln, Nebraska on the phone. I have a bunch of friends in Nigeria, and they can only trust me with the widow lady with her $10 million. Boy, if I'll just give her my bank account, she will send the money if I'll just send her a couple hundred bucks back. By the way, don't fall for it. Just yesterday, I got one. Hi, I am Sergeant David Gilliland. A USA military diligently serving our country here in Afghanistan. Can I trust you to receive fund on my behalf for safekeeping and investment? Reply for details. You know, there's a whole lot of people trying to push things these days. They're all disguised as good, but you better not fall for them. There are things you didn't ask for, you don't want. You'll slam the door and you want to be done with them. I did get my name on the no-call list, but it doesn't seem to be working quite yet. But I imagine, do you guys get these offers? Or lack thereof offers? You don't want them, they're too good to be true. I actually called somebody last month, said, listen, I don't have student loans, can you stop calling me? And he totally cussed me out. I was like, I couldn't believe it. Well, that's the last time I ever respond to that. If it's not got your name, forget it, you know? But I'm busy enough. I've got stuff to do without all these unwanted interruptions, without all these people trying to steal my money or sell me something I really don't need. But it's not always salesmen and scoundrels who are knocking at the door. Sometimes God interrupts our lives. You ever think about that? And sometimes what He has to say might totally interrupt what we are planning on doing. We've got a choice to make. Do I say, no thanks, God, I'm busy right now, I got things to do, I got everything lined up, or do we say, okay, come on in, let me hear more about this, God. Well, we're going to hear about someone who responded in the right way. She was a young girl living in a little village in northern Israel. She was getting ready to be married. She's minding her own business, doing what she had to do, and all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. And this angel had a deal for her. And, you know, she couldn't have had any idea what was coming down. She didn't sign up to be the mother of the Messiah. She wasn't looking for a new opportunity. She was just getting ready for her wedding. But when the angel showed up, she opened the door. She showed that she knew who God was and she knew who she was. And she's a great model of someone to emulate when God's plans collide with ours. Let's pray for a moment and then we'll jump in. Lord God, I thank you that we can study your word. It is so relevant and so fresh today. I pray that you would encourage each person here, regardless of what's going on in their life, that they would stop and listen and wait for you to speak. And when and if you do, they would respond. Help us, O Lord, to follow in your footsteps. Teach us as we look at your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, Mary was a young woman. She had a common name. It was the Mike of her day. Every other person was Mary. She lived in a place that was nowhere special. Think about Nathanael, and I think it was Nathanael. He said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, I guess it's like people in Medford going, Trail? What's in Trail? And we're all thinking, Medford? We don't want to go to Medford. So it's back and forth. But Mary was a seemingly regular, ordinary young lady. She had hope. She had dreams. She loved God. She's getting ready to marry a good, godly, young Jewish guy. God had plans for her. But you know what? He doesn't just have plans for Mary. He's got plans for us as well. And God has plans for ordinary people. He's got plans for ordinary people like you and me. We read in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You know, Mary wasn't anybody the world would take notice of. Nobody powerful would have thought that she was going to get an important assignment. She was just a simple peasant girl. Who knows? She may not have even been able to read and write. But God took notice of her. And the amazing thing is, our God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth, he takes notice of each and every one of you. And he also has plans for you. He had plans to bring you to salvation. He has plans for you to do his task. He has plans to conform you to the image of Jesus. And every day he's, in a real sense, knocking at the door. Mary could not have expected that suddenly there's this great drama that she's caught up in and she's going to be the leading actress. Nothing's going to be predictable anymore. How's her fiancé going to understand this? And that's going to be an issue to deal with. But her plans were turned upside down. She lived in a small backwater province of the Roman Empire. There was some peace in the land, but it was enforced with a military fist. There was harshness, there was cruelness, there was tension. For the most part, if people paid their taxes and they didn't rebel, the Romans would leave them alone. But suddenly, something breaks in, and her life is not her own anymore. Her plans are preempted by God's. You know, she could have panicked. She could have said, no way. She could have said, whoa, I don't think so. You got the wrong lady. But no, she didn't. She said, all right, Lord. Why did she do this? Well, I think for several things. She knew God. She trusted him and she loved him. And she ordered her life after him. She had a kind of relationship with God where if God wanted to step in and do something different, hey, God, that's your job. And my job is to say yes. She had plans. She was going to be with Joseph, but she let God call the shots. And she understood that God's plans must take priority. His plans must take priority. Because he's God and we're not. We read the angel appeared to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. When the angel knocked, she said, okay, what do you got for me? She allowed God's plans to trump hers. This isn't always easy, though. We just bought tickets for the kids and Kim to go back to Ohio this summer. You go, why would we do that so early? They're cheap. And they're affordable right now. We don't have cable TV, and we take our cable TV money and spend it on airplane tickets. I'm really hoping that nobody breaks their leg between now and July 31st, but we'll cross that bridge and they come to it. But we've made plans, and the Lord could mess them up. Not mess them up. He could do something different. But we'll have to, ultimately, his plans take priority. But God is showing concern for Mary. He just doesn't step in and say, listen, I know you had an idea. This is what I got in store for you. But he promises to be with her. And when he steps in, the great thing is, His plans are accompanying with His presence. Isn't that amazing? And whatever God has for you, whenever He steps in, He promises, I will be with you. Don't fear. Hang tight. Cling to me. And this is what He said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She'd never seen Gabriel in her life. He'd never showed up in that part of town. But He had come straight from heaven. And the message describes his greeting this way. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken. We can understand that. Wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise in store for you. You ever had anybody jump out from behind something with a camera and yell, cheese? Ugh! You know, the picture of you is not one you want to hang on the mantle. It's more like, ah! You know, at least that's how I look. I don't know about you. Usually you see pictures of Mary and she's got a halo or she's carrying the baby Jesus. But imagine the picture when Gabriel showed up. Who knows what she would have done? She would have been caught off guard. But ultimately, after the shock, the angel says, it's going to be all right. God is with you. We've got good things in store for you. This plan of God, she thought God was leading her to get married and live and have a little house and maybe some little babies and all that kind of stuff. And God steps in instead. But she seemed to recognize God was up to something. Obviously, He was. And this is what she said. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary says to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. That was a mouthful of a message. God has a plan for this ordinary young lady. God's plans are trumping, taking priority over hers. God's presence is with her. But that doesn't mean we understand everything. God's plans can still leave us puzzled. Puzzled, scratching our head, bewildered. I can imagine her saying, what? Did you hear what I just heard? It doesn't mean she doesn't have questions. I mean, this is a God-sized plan, and it's going to lead to God-sized questions. She's young. She's not married, but she still knows how things come about. The good thing is, they're respectful. It's not, I don't think so, God, or Gabriel, you're out to lunch. It's like, just kind of help fill me in on a few details. I'm a little fuzzy-brained here. God's got a plan for her. He's got a plan for us. And we don't always know the end picture. I'll have to admit, though, I'm glad I don't know what's down the road. You imagine, you're 19 years old. In some ways, you want to know what's going to happen in the next 40 years. And the other way, you're like, no way. I am glad. We'd be running scared if we knew everything was coming down the way. But Mary says, all right, Lord. You got to ask yourself, though, when God breaks in, how do you respond? Do you open the door and participate? Do you panic? You slam the door? Do you say, I want more answers first, and then I'll consider it? Well, God's got plans for her, and she responds well because she has a strong relationship with God. He interrupted her life, her tidy little thing. I don't think she ever could have dreamed, though, that God had something even better for her. What other peasant young girl do we read about 2,000 years later and celebrate and honor for her obedience to God? Nobody. Incredible. The question is, will she say yes? Will she say, okay, Lord, I'm in? Well, what do we read? Verse 38, I believe it's, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She makes a decision, and in spite of the questions, in spite of not knowing everything, she says okay. And God's plans require a response. He shows up. He says, what are you going to do? We may not like the direction things are going. We may not understand the logic behind it. But God had showed up to her and said, I've got something for you. And when he does with us, how do we respond? Thanks, but no thanks? Or, okay, Lord. You know, what if Mary would have said no? That was not going to wreck God's plan. He would have found another virgin. He would have got another young lady to Bethlehem. The baby would have been born. But guess who would have missed out? It wasn't like the salvation of the world was hanging in the balance and God was up in heaven going, oh, come on, Mary. Come on, work with me, darling. No, he had it covered. He knew how she'd respond, but she wasn't going to mess things up. But boy, could she have missed out. But God shows up. He's got good for her. Time and time again, you look in the Bible, and God shows up and interrupts people's lives. Abraham, I want you to leave everything you've ever known and start walking. Where? I'll tell you later. Moses, I know you got a wife and kids. You got a job herding sheep, but I want you to herd people. 2 million of them. Out of Egypt into the promised land, huh? Esther, marry this pagan king and save your people. Jonah, I want you to go to your enemies and tell them about God. No, thank you. There he goes. It worked. Hosea, I've got an object lesson for you. I want you to marry a prostitute and show my people how they're acting towards me. Oh, Lord, okay. Gideon, quit grinding your grain and lead my people. Super strict Paul, you who's never even looked at a ham sandwich, you are going to be apostle to the Gentiles. God broke in for all these folks. They had a choice. What were they going to do? First Peter, he kind of like, Lord, I've never... And then dream, vision, Cornelius the Gentile, centurion shows up. But eventually Peter said yes as well. But in each case, what were they going to do? Now I know for many folks here at our church, some of you are still really struggling with the idea of the church revitalization. You like things how they were. You feel at home as is. You may be struggling. Why do we need to change? But the fact is, our calling as God's people is to get the message out and to reach our community. And we've not been doing a great job at it. Half our community doesn't even know we exist here. Village missions is all about reaching your community. And part of it is because we've been speaking a foreign language. A lot of folks who haven't been to church in forever, if ever, don't understand. And so we're having to tweak our methods, but not our message. The message still is God so loved the world. The message still is the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It still is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried and then he was raised again according to the Scriptures. You see, there's lots and lots of families in our area that haven't been plugged into church for 3 or 4 generations. They don't know much about church. They don't think about church. They don't care about church. And yet the amazing thing is God is working in their kids. About 20% of Shady Cove School is coming to Good News Club. Some of these kids are starting to put their faith in Jesus. And my hope and prayer is that they will start coming to church. Not just at Christmas time, but to find out about God. And when they do, the last thing I want them thinking is, wow, I guess my family hasn't missed anything for the last 50 years. Wouldn't that be tragic? If we spoke such a different language and did things so differently that they can't even figure out what's going on. Assuming, of course, that Jesus is being lifted high and the cross is being mentioned as the way to salvation. But we want him to encounter the living God. Henry Blackaby said, find out where God is working and join him in it. God is doing things every week. Now, we only had 47 kids last week, but that's because the entire third grade class couldn't go to recess. They got busted for something. Otherwise, we would have had over 60 probably. God is doing stuff, and I believe God has positioned us here in this little church in the middle of nowhere to reach Shady Cove and Trail. I don't want to see that door of opportunity close. It's such a time as this. Reaching people will be hard. It will be difficult. It will be uncomfortable. It will be strange. We are. Face it. And guess what? Life didn't get easier for Mary when she said yes. Suddenly her reputation in town was trashed. Suddenly her fiancé was like blowing a gasket. What is going on? But she still said yes, even so. And if God is calling you to do something new, I believe God's calling us to do something new, get on board. We may not see the big picture. We may not understand, where is this bus going? But if it's God's, we want to be there. There was a story of a little boy who for weeks had been telling his teacher about the baby brother or sister that they were expecting at their house. And well, one day his mom said, hey, come here. I want you to feel my tummy. And he could feel the little baby kicking. And the boy was impressed but didn't say much. And he was really confused. And he stopped mentioning the baby in class. And after a little while, you know, the teacher sat the boy down and said, Herbie, you know, what happened to that baby brother or sister you were talking about every single day? And Herbie burst into tears, and he leaned over and said, I think my mommy ate it. There are times we don't understand everything. We don't know what God's going to do. It's uncomfortable. We can't see the big picture. But in the end, it's for our good. And Mary saw that God was up to good, and I believe he's up to good around here. He's on your favor. He's with you. Mary understood from what the angel said was the news was not just for her. It wasn't just good news of great joy for you, Mary, but for all people. Her son was to bring salvation to the world. Abraham, it wasn't just, Abraham, I'm going to bless your socks off. It was, Abraham, I'm blessing you to be a blessing to all the nations. And that's where we're at. God has given us good news, and he wants us to get it out. We're blessed to be a blessing. He's stepping in and saying, listen, I got a role for you. I got a task for you. I got something new for you. Oh, I'm freaking out, God. I'm scared. I'm not so sure. I don't like this. It's different. He's doing things not just for us, but for others, that they will know and understand our great God. And he wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of him. And I don't know about you, but growing, getting stronger is hard. And you get sore. And it's even more difficult as you get older, I'm finding. You know how that goes. But Jesus never promised life would be easy. He didn't say, Mary, it's all roses from here out. No, he said, a sword's going to pierce your heart. But I don't believe she ever would have traded it. I hope you start reading in your Advent calendar. Most of you should have gotten one. I've got a few more. They started on Friday, but jump in today. And every week, they're going to help you to be thinking about, what's God doing? What's he got in store? And be thinking about some of the people in the Christmas story that God showed up and interrupted their plans. You know, those shepherds going, I was just settling down for a sleep, when they didn't regret it. They went and saw. You know, think about those wise men, how long they had to travel. And yet, they got to see the king. Mary's response is beautiful. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. No excuses. No, choose somebody else. No, I'm just, woe is me, choose somebody else. She said, yeah. What are we going to do when God shows up in our lives? I hope that you'll humbly accept what he said. You'll listen. You'll be willing. You'll be determined. You'll say, I'll take whatever consequences come, Lord. And you'll follow in her footsteps. Let me close with this story. There's a man named Ben. And he was telling how three of his friends were climbing in Yosemite National Park, the highest peak, Mount Lyell. Two of his friends were very experienced climbers. One of them, like himself, wasn't. And they had talked and hiking their way along. And he said, as the hours passed, the two guys who were really experienced mountaineers, they got ahead of us. Well, I determined, boy, my competitive nature came out, and I wanted to catch up with them. Well, I looked, and I thought I saw just to the right of this rock outcropping, this a shortcut. Well, my buddy who was with me said, don't go there. But boy, I wanted to beat those other two guys. And it wasn't too much longer before he realized why they hadn't gone that way. He found that half an hour later, he was trapped up in this rock cul-de-sac and looking down several hundred feet down a sheer cliff of ice. He was 10 feet to a safe spot. But 10 feet, when you're on an icy mountain, and no way to get there, is a long ways. He said, boy, if I one little slip and I was going to fall 50 miles, it seemed. I was stuck and scared. Well, he started to holler, and it took his friends about an hour to approach it from a different way. I was there on this rock, reaching out to them, And one of them leaned out with his ice axe and made a little place to stand. And then he reached out a little farther and made another little place. And he said, okay, Ben, you're going to have to step out where you are and put one foot where the first foothold is. When your foot touches it without a moment's hesitation, put your other foot on the other spot. Swing over. And when you do, I'll reach out and grab you. 10 feet's a long ways. Well, it sounded good to Ben, but his friend said, listen carefully. As you step across, don't lean into the mountain. You better lean out a little bit, because if you lean in, the way your foot and gravity works, you're going to slide right off. Well, Ben goes, you know what? I really don't like high peaks. And he's thinking to himself, then why in the world am I here? When I'm on the edge of a cliff, I want to hug that mountain. I've been there before doing some rappelling. I want to become one with it, not lean away from it. And yet this guy with experience, who's climbed much before, has says, lean away. Every inclination of Ben is to lean in. What should he do? Well, this is what he wrote. For a moment, based solely on what I believe to be the goodwill and good sense of my friend, I decided to say no to what I felt, to stifle my impulse to cling to the security of the mountain, to lean out, to step out, and traverse the ice to safety. It took less than 2 seconds to find out if my faith was well-founded, and it was. It may be what God has for you, some of his plans may sound crazy, that intuitively it's opposite of what you'd want to do. You might find yourself saying, Lord, do you have my best intentions at heart? Can I trust you? Should I follow your plan? Let me encourage you. The answer is he does. We should and we can. And I hope no matter what God has for you, you'll respond like Mary. I belong to you. I'll do what you want. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, I can't imagine the situation Mary came to. I also don't want to imagine what it was like on the side of a cliff. But God, I've got situations in my life which are equally disrupting and interrupting and sometimes scary. But the fact is, Lord, you are good, and what you do is good, and we can trust you. And Father, your plans are for your glory and our good. Help us, Father, to be like Mary and to say yes to you. We may not know everything. We may not be sure we like everything. But because we know you, we know you've got it covered and can be trusted. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.